terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do I have any children who want to come forward? Any children that aren't who want to come forward? Oh, I see at least one. Good morning. You can just sit down there, right there. I've got a couple pictures to show you. How are you doing this morning? All right. I have a couple of pictures here. Who do you think these people are?
The pastors.
The pastors. Not quite. Do you want to show this picture to them and ask them who they think these people are? You want to do that? Just show it to everyone. Go stand up and show them. Who do you think these people are? I have one guess, the pastors of this church.
How about your family?
How about my family?
How about it? It looks like your family.
It looks like my family. What makes you think it looks like my family?
Just the hunch.
That it doesn't look like your family?
Physically looks like your family.
Physically looks like my family.
The dry smile.
Because you've seen the picture before. Okay. Now, we're kind of doing a repeat here. But not everybody has seen this picture. That's why I'm showing it. So you think that these people... Come back over to Bill. So you think these people look like me?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Did anyone else who looked at this say these people look kind of like me? What do you think? Do they look like me? A little bit. What do you think, Rosie? You see it? See all these people? A little bit. Who looks most like me of all these people? Who do you think looks most like me? Okay. Now, I know some of you have seen this picture before. This is indeed a picture of part of my family. This is my dad's family. And this was in a newspaper back in, I want to say, the very early 1950s or late 1940s. And this is my dad and his brothers and sisters according to age. My dad was child number 10 out of 12. So this is my dad right here. And yeah, when you point to who do I most resemble, it's my dad. Now here's another depiction of my dad. This one's different, isn't it? Wait, you want to show this to the people? Simple life. This is a picture of my dad when he would have been a teenager in his early teens. This was painted by his sister Frances. And so it shows him in overalls sitting on a stump and whittling. So a lot of time has passed between this depiction when he's in his teens and this depiction, which was taken after he and his brothers had returned from the war. And by the war, which war do I mean? World War II. Now, why am I bringing these pictures today? Okay, I'll tell you. First, I'm going to put him down. These pictures, especially this one, are very precious to me. When I was asked what I wanted from my dad, I said this picture and nothing else. This means more to me than anything else because it is a picture of a man I love dearly, hated by his sister, one of the few of his family that I ever met. I'm bringing that because, especially in our lesson from 1 John today, we talk about our resemblance to the Father. By the Father, we mean God. So we may physically resemble our parents. Do people ever tell you you look like your mom or your dad? They do. In my family, there are five kids, or there were five kids. And when I was little, they divided us up. So my brother John and I were the Knightons. And my sister Linda and Joe and Brian were the Keos. So my mother's family claimed three of them. My dad's family claimed two. And you can see in pictures of any of the Knightons that I really do resemble my dad's family more than I do my mom's family. And my sister and my two younger brothers looked a lot more like my mother's family. There is definitely a family resemblance. You can tell that we all are related. I can look at pictures of my cousins, and we look like family. Do you have that in your family? Do you look like other members of your family, like cousins? Do you look like your brothers and sisters? Mm-hmm. Y'all look like you belong in one family, right? And so when we talk about being part of the family of God, what are we talking about? When did we become part of the family of God? Well, we've always been children of God, right? But when did God really, really claim us as God's own? When we were baptized. When we were baptized, God spoke our name and said, "You are now mine. You are my child. You're still the child of your parents. That doesn't change, but now you're my child as well." And that means what? That means that we are all brothers and sisters. Every person that you see, and how many of you have been baptized? Okay, look at all these hands raised. These are all brothers and sisters. We are all related to each other because we are all part of God's family. So that means that, wait a minute, if I look like my dad's family and a little like my mom's family, and if we're all related, that means we should look alike too. But not physically, right? How do we look like each other? How do we know that we're all brothers and sisters, that we're all siblings in Christ?
We're here this morning.
We're here this morning. That's one way. We can look in this church. We saw the hands raised of people who say, "I'm part of God's family."
By our love.
By our love, exactly. By how we relate to each other. By how, what are the two great commandments? Remember those? Love God and love one another. Exactly. And that's how we resemble God. Because of how we love God and how we love one another. So think about that. Think about the family resemblance that we have. That resemblance being how we love one another. And so let's pray. Oh, holy God, we thank you for claiming us as your children. We thank you that in the waters of baptism, you called us by name and claimed us as your very own. And because of that, we have such a big family, so many brothers and sisters in Christ. And just as we resemble our moms and our dads and our brothers and our sisters and our cousins physically, let us come to resemble you, our Heavenly Father, because of how we love you and because of how we love one another. We ask this in the name of our risen Savior. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were here last week, or if you read the gospel lessons, and also are reading from 1 John, you'll notice that these readings are a bit similar to last week. Remember last week's gospel? It was one of those resurrection appearances, but from the Gospel of John. And today we have a resurrection appearance from the Gospel of Luke. There's something that came before this particular lesson today in Luke 24. The beginning of Luke 24. Is when Jesus first appears, when they're going to the tomb, and they're expecting the stone to still be there, and it's not. It's rolled away. He's not there. And they find that he has been risen. Well, there are a couple people who are missing when Mary Magdalene goes back and tells them about Jesus being risen. There are a couple of people who are on their way to Emmaus. And they're walking along, and we're told that they're very, very sad. And then a stranger accompanies them and opens up the scriptures to them, talks all about Jesus. But they don't seem to understand until they get where they need to be. And Jesus breaks the bread, and their eyes are open. And then he disappears. Today, we have the gospel lesson where he is standing among them. They're talking about all of these appearances, all these stories that they've heard about him appearing, but they're not so sure that they're true because they haven't seen it for themselves. So they're talking about it, and here Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." You'll notice he says that frequently, "Peace be with you." It says that they're startled. And they're terrified. Well, wouldn't you be if someone that you thought was gone appeared in front of you? So they're terrified, and he tells them, he asks, "Why are you frightened? Why do you doubt? Look at me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Because ghosts don't have flesh and bones the way that I do. Prove it to them." He asks for something to eat, and they give him some fish, and he eats it. And then they're startled. They're watching him do this, and it starts to sink into their minds. He opens up their minds to understand the scriptures, to understand all the things that he said about himself. Even with him standing in their midst, they're a bit unbelieving. Even though they see him looking like he did before the crucifixion, but for the wounds. How can this be? He says, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and arise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." He tells them, "You are witnesses of these things." And everything that he said about himself is coming to pass. And they are witnesses. Now, reading from 1 John, it continues what we read last week, talking about God, how God is fully light. And it says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. To be children of God, to be children of light, not children of darkness." It says the reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Just as we've heard in the reading from Acts, people did not understand who Jesus was. And as a result, they put him to death. And yet, death is not the end. For those of us who have been baptized in Christ, who have died and resurrected with him in the waters of baptism, death is not the end of our story. It's not the end of the story. Because what we have is the word of eternal life that just is was raised from the dead, we too will be raised. We too will abide with our Heavenly Father for all time and eternity. To think that we are God's children, not through birth, but through adoption, that God has chosen us, God has claimed us as God's very own. To have the hope of being with God forever. To be witnesses, even though we have not bodily seen the Lord raised. To be witnesses to what we know about God. To the saving power of God as reflected. And what we see when we come to church, what we see in one another, when we look into the eyes of the brothers and sisters and sons, to see love, to know that the love that we have for one another is a reflection of the love that God has for us, to think that God has claimed us as God's own children. So what does it mean to be a witness? We talked about this a little bit last week. But Jesus appeared and people saw him and heard him and touched him and then wrote down what they had experienced. So that those of us, so many years later, can come to believe Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the risen one. And he loves us with a love beyond our imagining. But he claims us as his own. And that just as he was raised, the day will come and we will be raised as well. The world is so broken and hurting. It needs to hear the words of peace and consolation. We are witnesses to what Jesus has done. So my charge to you is to go out into the world and witness to God's love by loving one another. Love is God loved. We are. Let us join together in our hymn.